You're listening to Zen Crossing, where spirituality meets everyday life, with your host, Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center.
Today, we'll be talking about conversations about death. My guest today is Carol Spangler. Carol retired from a career as a nonprofit manager, moved to Vashon 11 years ago, and became a hospice volunteer. And that started the ball rolling. And since then, she's progressively become more involved in death awareness. She did a 2-year apprenticeship at the Sacred Art of Living and Dying Center. She's a certified spiritual director. She's founder of Honoring Choices, which gets people to complete their advanced directive here on Vashon Island. Carol, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Koshin.
Death is a difficult subject. It's a difficult topic, a difficult thing for us to approach. Why do you do this work? What draws you to it?
I think I'd like to start at the beginning. At the beginning, which when I was about 40 years old, and we lived in Washington, D.C., and my mother was dying of cancer, and it was an 8-hour drive, and she was the matriarch of the family, and she wanted very much to die at home. Our family, which is a big extended family, made a commitment to her and to each other that we would make that happen. And we brought hospice in and that community just about 4 or 5 months before she died. Between us and with support of hospice, it ended up that she died in her own bed at home, surrounded by all of us. And she died peacefully and actually without very much pain. And ever since then, even after, in between all this time that I had a career, I kept thinking, I know I'm going to go back to that because it's where I belong. It's something that I've learned and I want to learn more. So that was the beginning, actually. It was my mother's gift to me. When she died.
Sounds like a good death. Wasn't there an Irish phrase sometimes you say?
Yeah, it's may you have a happy death.
May you have a happy death.
Bashona.
How do you think, Carol, it helps others to think about and talk about death? It's a difficult subject for most of us. Do you think it helps our life to be able to talk about it?
I feel like there's an interesting quote from the Egyptian Book of the Dead from about, I think, around 1200 AD. And it says, die before you die, so that when you die, you will not die. Whoa.
Wow.
What is that? And the way I interpret it is that we have these opportunities on a daily basis to die. And especially as we grow older, I'm in my early 70s, and I feel like I am constantly having an opportunity to experience what it is to die, to let go. I look in the mirror and I see somebody who I don't know anymore. I used to run and I can't run. Mm-hmm. I can't bicycle as far as I used to. My brain is not as alert as it used to be. So every day, there's something that I'm doing some practicing and dying. I think the more we can converse with one another about these small losses, about this dying that we're doing, that it's preparation for the big one, for the ultimate one. Mm. And I feel like it helps to do that together. It helps to do that certainly within our family and in our intimate relationships. It's a rich, rich conversation.
And yet it's a hard one to have, right? You've been really soaking yourself in this topic for a long time. What kind of advice do you have for people who are ready to talk about dying, but maybe their loved ones aren't?
I feel like I had one big learning about that recently, and I met with someone on the island whose partner was diagnosed with a terminal illness, and was definitely not ready to even get close to the fact that I'm terminal. And neither was her family. And we talked about that because he had a sense of, there's so much here that we need to tend to as a family. And there's so much here we need to tend to in this relationship. And so what we did is we began to look at the materials, the advanced care planning materials, and some of the questions. And he started to do the work himself to begin to think about and to consider, under certain circumstances, if I'm not able to speak for myself or make decisions, who do I want? What do I want to have happen? Who do I want to speak on my behalf? So he started to do the work. And then he went back to his family and he said, hey, I'm starting this work. It's not all bad. Maybe we should do this together. And guess what? They did. And it has been a really engaged, rich conversation with some very important decisions being made.
So it really helped, in his case, for him to do the work.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
That's cool. Do you feel like this in some way is, it doesn't always have to be, I'm sure, but do you feel there's a spiritual dimension to it?
Great question. I think, well, okay, for me, although, you know, we think about the medical aspects and the ethical aspects, I admit for me, the spiritual part is the part that is it's most mysterious for me, but it's also the piece of this, it's the mystery of dying and the fact that I think in the end, it is a spiritual experience. I do. Because it takes us, I think it takes us on the journey of really looking at the deepest, most quintessential questions. Knowing I'm going to die, how might I live? How will I live? I mean, that to me is the ultimate question. And it, to me, it's a spiritual question. What are the implications of why I'm here? What am I here for? You know, that big question of meaning. And in, you talked about my being in this, the Sacred Art of Living and Dying program. And we talked about the fact that there can be tremendous physical pain at the end of one's life. But sometimes that physical pain is more spiritual pain. It's more existential pain of the questions or the issues in our lives that suddenly confront us that are so painful, perhaps, in some cases. In my hospice work, I mean, I see this broad spectrum of people who die with this deep sense of, My life has had meaning. My relationships are well. I don't die in hopelessness. And then you see, we all know, people who die in despair because they come to the end and feel like there was no meaning. And particularly the broken relationships that, you know, we see that in families where, you know, the children don't come back to even see a parent die. But those are spiritual issues, those issues of meaning and relatedness and forgiveness and ultimately hope and despair.
Do you think it might be one of the things that makes it difficult to approach death is the fear that we all have of the unknown, I imagine, but also the hurt that because it's the implication is that we'll have to work with some of that hurt in our lives. Is that part of the work that you did at the Sacred Art Center?
That is its focus. It's about kind of the elements of dying that we don't normally embrace and talk about. Certainly, too, I think what's, you know, interesting in this conversation is the fact that, you know, our medical personnel, our healthcare team, I mean, when have you gone to a doctor and have you ever had him ask you, so, how are you within? And that was the question that Dame Cicely Saunders, who started hospice, would always ask her patients. She would go in, and particularly in cases where she could experience this sense of deep distress and pain, And she would go in with the question, how are you within? And that, in many cases, it opened up a whole new place for an individual to be and to be able to embrace or begin to break open, I think, Koshin, that fear around, I'm going to die and all these things are incomplete. Where do I go? And her question kind of opens up that possibility of that conversation.
Does anybody ask that question in hospitals?
I know a few physicians now because of the work I've done. Okay, some of them are actually of a Buddhist bent. And I do know some physicians and actually certainly some other members of a healthcare team that they move to that question or move to that space of enabling patients and families to start dealing with those questions around where is the other hurt? Where is the other pain in us? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here's a question I didn't think I'd ask. I'll throw it at you. Sometimes I call you the angel of death to friends of mine, with emphasis on the angel. You're so happy and buoyant when I meet you.
Yeah.
Do you think this work contributes to that in some way?
That's a good question and a hard one for me to answer. You know, one of the things I've been thinking about in preparing for this conversation with you is thinking about the work with hospice. And since I've been in the island, I should say that I've never not been with a hospice patient. I've always had a hospice patient. In 11 years or 10 years, I've always had a hospice patient. And there's something about this work that I think is extraordinarily powerful and energizing for an individual. Because imagine this, you walk into the house of a perfect stranger, right? Mm. Never met this person before, don't know their family, and there you are invited in to the most intimate, personal moment in this family's, in this individual's life. And what that does for me, and like right now I have a hospice patient, I see him every single week and have for a long, long time, and I see him for 2 to 3 hours every day. I probably at some times have more intimate relationship and conversation with him than I do with my husband. But what it does is it puts you right on the edge. You know, it takes you right to the edge. And maybe that's a part of what's happening that I'm not even realizing, is this work and these extraordinary people that are there right at that end of their lives, it can't help but change the way you live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enliven you, maybe.
Yeah, enliven you, maybe. Mm. Yeah.
Well, I have this question as well as a Zen guy. I know you're a Quaker and you caucus with us. It's great to have you come to the Zen Center and sit with us. You have a lot of silence in your spiritual path, a lot of sitting quietly. Do you find that helps with this work or is related to this work in any way?
I think there is a really powerful relationship between this, the silence and the being able to go inward. And in every spiritual tradition, there is some way to practice this being able to be silent, and whether it's meditation, prayer, walking, some contemplative practice that enables us to go to that space that when we are lying on our deathbeds, we lie there and we can remember. We practice this. We know it. We know how to do it. Mm-hmm. And I often think I have often in the night when I can't sleep, I think we all practice, okay, I'm going to practice breathing, right? But often my breathing, I think about the fact that, you know, breathing in, I take in life, and breathing out, I let life go. And what an extraordinary way to think as a spiritual practice of preparing for dying. This breathing in and then breathing out and imagining it, this is my last. This is my last. And I think it's a great way to practice dying every day.
Every day.
Mm-hmm.
Amen, sister. Mm-hmm. Carol, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Best of luck with this very important work. I'll be right there with you.
Thank you, Koshin.
Thank you.